It's something that commonly we always thought was mostly for like male sports performance or bodybuilding, you know. And you don't.
You've just tuned into Rebel Wellness Podcast, your resource for realigning and revitalizing your health and well-being. I'm your host, Kaylee, also known as Coach Kales. I'm a holistic health educator, certified nutritionist, and fitness professional of nearly a decade. I'm stoked to have you with us. You just joined a community of amazing souls who are ready to break free from the confines of the often outdated and confusing health advice all around us. Living in a world overwhelmed by quick fix diets and unrealistic beauty and body standards, us rebels stand for change. If you're like me, you're exhausted with the confusion and polarization plaguing the social media health scene. My mission is to empower you to step beyond today's diet culture. Adopt a holistic health approach paired with the foundations of science for lasting, well-rounded wellness. Through teaching you how to tune in and embrace your mind, body, and soul, we'll reject one-size-fits-all solutions, realigning you on a better path that honors your unique needs and values. With new episodes weekly, this podcast is your sanctuary for deep wellness exploration, featuring expert advice, real-life stories, and a true commitment to your growth. Your journey to better health and simplicity in life begins now. Let's jump right in. What's up, Rebels? Today is a topic that is just absolutely trending all over social media, so I had to educate and help you guys navigate the creatine world because there's probably a lot of confusing variable conversations going on, different advice from different people. Some are actual legitimate practitioners and some are just like health gurus. So I decided to take some time to make this modern creatine episode for you, especially as there's been some more research that's come out in the last couple of years to support the benefits of creatine supplementation for more than just muscles, right? We always think about, you know, I remember in high school thinking that creatine that the guys were taking in football and stuff was like a steroid. And for some reason, I feel like a lot of us have believed that. Like, I think a lot of us think creatine because I don't know if it's its name or the context that it came around. Maybe you also just used to hear about it with like guys in sports performance. But I wanted to make sure that you knew that, you know, creatine is not bad. It's actually naturally created and consumed in dominantly animal proteins. That is where it is most exclusively found. But it is also something that is essential for so many different functions in our body and can really optimize things. So let's dive into all of that today. I'm going to break down what creatine is, what are the different types you might see on the market, how to choose the best one for you and the one that I would recommend for most of us, what the modern research says, how much to take daily, and how it can support you from your workouts to your cognition. And so even your hormones. So this is really important conversation and I have it geared to my females listening because it's something that commonly we always thought was mostly for like male sports performance or bodybuilding, you know, and you don't have to be doing any of that to reap the benefits of creatine. But as always, this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only. It's not medical advice, and I recommend speaking with your healthcare provider before starting any new supplement, especially if you have a health condition or are pregnant or breastfeeding. But it is important to know that in general, creatine is, again, naturally occurring in foods we eat day to day, and it is one of the most time-tested and studied supplements on the market. Before we dive in, come join us on my social media accounts at Rebel Wellness Podcast or at Kaylee Loren or both. I'd love to see you guys there. Our community is growing and it's very fun to see. And I have actually shifted my newsletter to being a seasonal wellness newsletter that is going to be chock full with all of the good stuff that you guys who have already been subscribed have seen and gotten to benefit from as far as clean beauty, journal prompts, modern science that I think you should know in regards to anything wellness, as well as some other good deep talks and access to all of the resources that I am going to create and continue to create for you guys as they come out. and new podcast episodes. I always let you guys know when there's some new heavy hitter podcast episodes that have been launched the last couple of months, which ones you should tune in if you have missed it. But we also would love for you guys to continue to take a quick second and give us a nice review on either, you know, Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. I think Spotify is just stars. We would really love for that to help grow our podcast. It's how we can expand and get a lot more exposure. So I would definitely shamelessly love to invite you to do that for us, especially if you enjoy this episode and learn something new. All right, with all that housekeeping done, let's dive into what you need to know before taking creatine as a woman. So what is creatine? I kind of already said it a little bit. It's naturally occurring in almost exclusively animal foods, like I had mentioned, particularly in muscle meats. And the foods that have the highest content of creatine are going to be herring, beef, pork, salmon, tuna, cod, and chicken, especially the thigh meat. So those are some of the best naturally occurring creatine sources of food. So if you eat a lot of those already, you're going to be getting a good amount of creatine daily from that. But if you don't, you know, creatine supplementation is probably something that you could look into. We'll talk more about that soon. Creatine helps regenerate ATP, aka your energy for your cells. And so it's extremely important, especially if you're somebody who's active or if you live a high stress life, because that still counts as your body and your brain needing energy, right? So we really have to think about it more than just you're trying to build muscles in the gym, or you're trying to keep up with like running or doing any sort of long distance cardiovascular sports. You can benefit from creatine even if you're just, you know, stay at home mom that's like going crazy running after toddlers and stuff. It definitely can be extremely beneficial for you, especially if you're somebody who's like skipping meals and things, because you're probably depleted in some nutrients just naturally, especially with high stress. So creatine can be an extremely important supplement for you to consider. Your body does make some creatine, but not always enough. And again, especially if you're active or you're stressed. So that pretty much covers almost all of us females, right? But the reason why women might need more than generally, like side tangent, something that's important to understand is that the FDA regulation of like the baseline nutrients necessary is not customized. And again, it is very basic. It does not take into account the levels of stress that a lot of women carry these days. It doesn't take into account your size, your ethnicity, all these different things. It's always based off of a 2000 calorie diet. And then they have like these generic milligrams and all these different things of the essential nutrients that you need. And so that's where it gets important to learn how to take inventory of how your body's feeling, getting good quality blood work, and finding out if you have any deficiencies and how you can better support yourself. And nutrition is easily one of the most important things for supporting yourself, especially if you are active, stressed, or both. So when you think about that, and if you look at your life, or if you take the time to, you know, maybe log a couple days of food in a app called Chronometer, it's actually free, I believe, and it's online, that will actually give you a really nice breakdown of like all the nutrients you're getting, not just protein, carbs, and fats, actually the vitamins and minerals that you're getting from your food. You will be shocked. You will probably be shook because you will see that you actually are under eating nutrients every day. And so this is where I get kind of into, I don't want to say arguments, but I've definitely, especially as I've gotten through my higher education and more experience working with like real life people, supplements can absolutely be beneficial, especially nowadays, because not only is our nutrients from our food more depleted because our soil is depleted, and I live in agricultural land here in California. Like, I can tell you straight up, I see how quickly they turn over these fields, and they are not replenishing the nutrients in a way that actually creates very nourishing fruits, vegetables, and all of that, grains, the way that it used to be. So we actually are having food that doesn't provide as much nutrients. We also have stress, and we have leaky gut and various different situations with our stomach that makes us not actually absorb food the same either. And then you also throw into it all the different angles of skipping meals or undereating or sometimes overeating, but overeating and not being nourished enough, not having foods that actually provide nutrients. So unbiasedly, which is definitely, you know, that's the definition of mindfulness, or rather it's not unbiased. It's without judgment. Observe your food. Observe your relationship with food in the way of knowing whether or not you are nourishing yourself as much as you're just feeding yourself. Because just feeding yourself is just getting by, turning off that hunger hormone when it's kicking in, and moving along with your day. And that's what's going to lead to deficiencies, which lead to symptoms of issues and disease, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So coming off that tangent, I think it's really important to know that there are situations like that where for creatine, women may need more than men, because our baseline creatine stores are actually lower. And the menstrual cycle and estrogen, those components to our individual bodies biologically might be influencing our creatine metabolism as well. We are finding that out as well. I'm not going to get too much into the science. But also, you think about with our cycles, perimenopause and menopause have this big drop in estrogen. So that is linked to a decline in muscle and brain creatine capacity. And a lot of us females follow vegetarian or vegan diets, which is even lower in creatine intake. So a lot of these different components all put together make us a good candidate for supplementing with creatine, just to see if we can get ourselves a little bit more optimized, feeling a little bit better, and maintaining our lean muscle mass. Because your lean muscle mass is your metabolism. It is shape to your body. It is strength. You know, it's your ability to take off and run from a threat. There's so many things that are important about having enough muscle, but also that brain health and having like less brain fog and sharpness and the ability to excel at whatever you do with your career or with your family, you know. All those things are so important, right? So some of the research that actually is interesting that has come out recently about creatine that I think is important to note. I mean, there's a lot. Like I said in the beginning, creatine is the most highly studied supplement on the market. And the one that is kind of stand out right now is one from Forbes et al. In 2022, where women benefit from creatine in respect to mood, cognition, and strength. So kind of all those things that I was just saying. So what Forbes and the colleagues had done was they conducted a comprehensive review examining multifaceted benefits of creatine supplementation, particularly emphasizing its effects on brain health and function. And the key findings that they had found were cognitive enhancement, that they found that creatine supplementation had been shown to improve measures of cognition, memory, especially in aging adults or during times of metabolic stress, such as sleep deprivation, aka early years, having children, and or, you know, chapters in your career where you have a lot more deadlines or any of those kind of things where you have this big stress response, right? They also found mood improvements because they are making some breakthrough findings in relation to creatine and its relationship to relieving anxiety and depression, which is pretty awesome. And of course, like everyone knows, creatine and resistance type training has been repeatedly shown to improve measures of muscle performance in healthy young female individuals and postmenopausal females. So pretty much across the board, you're going to benefit from creatine, as what was found in the research there. But another body of research was one by Rawson and Venezia in 2011. And they explored the effects of creatine supplementation on age-related muscle loss known as sarcopenia, which disproportionately affects older adults, including women. And so what they had found, again, with the support of muscle mass and strength due to short-term high-dose creatine supplementation. So kind of like more of a, I wouldn't say mega dosing effect, but a higher dosing effect to really kind of saturate the body and get as much creatine to be absorbed as possible. Because again, like I had said before, there's various reasons why our body may not actually absorb and utilize creatine at the grams we eat. You know, not everything we eat gets absorbed immediately or exactly the way that we ate it, unfortunately. And this is, again, you know, product of a variety of gut health issues, digestive enzyme production issues. There's a lot of different things that play into it. But to keep it simple, you can benefit differently if you did a more higher dose creatine supplementation, but for short term. But again, don't experiment with this on your own. Definitely consult with a practitioner. But there's also a lot of good resources online from very accredited practitioners that could be good resources for you to explore more or to bring to your practitioner to kind of get the green light on. But alongside that, they did find that creatine supplementation plus the resistance training resulted in a greater increase in bone mineral density than just resistance training by itself. So it is also one of those things that's extremely important for aging women who are at risk of osteoporosis to build and maintain better bone density, because that's really important as we age, especially postmenopausal, when a lot of those hormones, your progesterone and estrogen, are dropping significantly. So we're gonna, you know, not get into all the research because that would take days, right? But I thought that those two specific research papers were really interesting, especially for like modern understanding of how creatine benefits females. Because unfortunately, we just don't have a lot of longevity research into females, but it's getting better now. The last 20 years or so, we've really improved on including women, especially menstruating women, in research. But to kind of recap on the top benefits of creatine for women, there's the muscle performance and strength, brain function and mental clarity, hormonal and menstrual health, bone density support, and aging and mitochondrial health. Okay, so those are all very important things that creatine directly improves. So I did want to take a little moment in this episode to debunk a couple of common myths that I've heard and I experienced on my own, actually, when I started in the fitness industry, because, you know, it's one of the most popular supplements that does provide results all the time. So it is extremely common to, you know, see people in the gym taking it. And there's a lot of different ways that people say you, like, when you should take it and blah, 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 all this different stuff. So the first thing that I wanted to say is a total myth, is that creatine will make you bulky. So this is not true, okay? It cannot on its own simply make you bulky. It just cannot as a substance in general or chemical, you know? It's basically the thing that most people think they're getting bulky from is that a common side effect that is pretty minuscule that is a part of creatine is water retention. And this water retention is actually how it can help benefit muscle recovery and therefore muscle growth, is because essentially it's intracellular water that gets held in the muscles that we're working on, and they help holding that hydration and those nutrients in that muscle to help the muscle recover better. So this is a temporary thing, and as long as you're consuming adequate water intake, which I usually say for most females is 85 ounces of water or more, I wouldn't say you need to really go above a gallon, honestly, unless you're like over 6 feet tall. But for the most part, if you're hydrating amply like that, you're not really going to see it. Like personally for myself, I do not really see water retention. And I do think that they've also come a long way with the way that they produce it and the quality, etc. But another myth that I've heard often is that it's just for men or bodybuilders. Again, kind of like we just debunked with all that research, that is very false. Research is growing fast in the female populations, and women are benefiting massively in comparison. And another thing that people always say is it's not natural or it's a drug. No, it is naturally found in food, like we talked about, particularly red meat and salmon and herring and, you know, all that good stuff that we listed. And it's also made by the body. So that is just another sign that is definitely natural. And, you know, it is unnatural in that we make supplements. There is man-made variations, but they are all derivatives off of a naturally occurring chemical. So it's also not something that's like plastic and made out of weird artificial components. Okay. And then the last one that I think is really important, that's a myth that I hear often, is it causes kidney damage. I hear this all the time, especially with protein as well. And that is just simply not true unless somebody has pre-existing kidney disease. And somebody who might be a diabetic, type 1 or type 2, you might be at a higher risk because your kidneys are already stressed. So you do, again, regardless of if you have diabetes or not, this is kind of why it is a good thing to run by your practitioner if they know something about your chart and your blood work and all that kind of stuff that you don't know, which I really hope that you know everything that goes on, but it's actually very strange just how much practitioners don't divulge to my clients, like the whole picture of their health. And then like, I see it because I see their blood work or their my chart and whatever. I'm like, did they talk to you about this? And they're like, no. I'm like, what in the world? But that's a whole different soapbox, you know, because I just, every day I feel like I keep hearing conversations of just such low quality care. But I mean, that's our medical system. It's overburdened right now. So I totally don't blame doctors, honestly. But it is still disappointing. You know, I'm still allowed to be disappointed and you're still allowed to be disappointed. But hopefully you're here listening to this podcast because you're trying to take charge of your health and better understand your body on your own. Because that's the whole reason I made this podcast. But it does not cause kidney damage, okay? That is not a real thing unless you abuse a supplement. It could cause damage to your digestive system in general because, you know, anything in too much excess is not great. But that would be like if you were downing a whole tub of creatine a day or something like that, and that'd be disgusting. So that's probably not going to happen. I will note something kind of anecdotal that I have observed, and there's a little bit of like research or anecdotal evidence online that some female clients have cited some increase in acne. Like sometimes some back acne or some jawline acne, which it's believed to be connected to if you do have already a hormone imbalance. So let's say you have higher androgens. The creatine, with the increase in, if you're strength training and you're building more muscle, that's going to stimulate natural testosterone production to increase, not significantly to where it should be very bad, but perhaps for somebody who is like with PCOS and their androgens are already really high because they're insulin resistant with their ovary hormonal production, you might experience something like a little increase in acne. You can try to ride it out, see if it goes away, if your body can like naturally rebalance, or it just may not be the right supplement for you. So I did want to add that in there because I have noticed that before, but it is particularly in my clientele that have hormonal imbalances. Typically the extremely high stress ones where there's definitely a hormonal imbalance going on in there. Okay. So sometimes you just kind of want to, again, pay attention to your body, see how it's reacting. All right, now let's get into the part that probably a lot of you wanted to hear about, and that is the dosing and how to use it. So the standard dose for creatine supplementation, which the most common version of creatine that you will find in the supplement section is going to be creatine monohydrate. This form of creatine is the form that is the most highly researched, the most popularly used, and usually the most effective for most people. And usually the standard dose is going to be 3 to 5 grams a day. But you'll also hear people, because it used to be this older thought in the bodybuilding community, that you needed to do a loading phase. And so a loading phase would usually be higher dosing of the creatine to kind of saturate the body, saturate the muscles again, and then your maintenance dose would be 5 grams a day. That's not necessary. They've actually debunked that, fortunately, with modern research. And so you don't really have to do that. You know, if you are a male listening to this, that could be something that could be strategically helpful for you. There's some great resources on YouTube, like Jeff Nippert has a great, I think he has an entire video on creatine that's more oriented towards male bodybuilders. So I'd recommend that resource to go learn more about that. But for my females listening here, which I believe is probably most of you, I would say anywhere from 3 to 5 grams a day is pretty standard. And let's talk for a second though about some of the different types of creatine that are on the market, because I think it's important that you understand, because there's so many different types and a lot of them are not necessary. So like I said, creatine monohydrate, it's creatine plus a water molecule. It's the most bioavailable, like 100% of it is bioavailable. And it's affordable, it's effective, and it's safe. And you can also find versions that are like called micronized, and they are typically easier to dissolve and digest. So if you find a micronized creatine monohydrate, that could be one that will mix better with whatever you're going to mix it with as far as liquids go. And the next type that you'll see very commonly, it's usually more expensive, is creatine HCl, hydrochloride. So what that is creatine bound to hydrochloric acid. A lot of people claim that it's better solubility, fewer GI issues, and no need for a loading phase. However, with research, we have found that it is also no need for a loading phase with monohydrate version. So that is kind of like me. And I actually have found for some of my clients who have used HCl, they don't really find it to be significantly better, especially with the GI issue things. A lot of companies have found a way to produce the monohydrate in a way that doesn't cause like the bloating and stuff. So if you do get bloating from monohydrate, then maybe you should try HCl. But it is more expensive. So it kind of just depends on what you really want, how your body reacts, etc. I always say that it's kind of one of those times to experiment and see if you can try something maybe every other day till your body kind of gets used to it, till your digestive system gets used to it, and see if after like a couple of weeks you're still dealing with bloating. Then you can switch supplements. I think a lot of people kind of jump ship really fast with a lot of supplements and they don't really give it a good try. And you might just be wasting money if you do that. So another type that you'll see on the market is creatine ethyl ester. What that is creatine with an ester attached for better absorption. I'm not going to describe what an ester is for you, but they claim that it has superior uptake. But a lot of studies actually show that it's less effective than monohydrate. So generally not recommended. Similar to, there's omega-3 supplements that are ethyl esters. And they also may not be as bioavailable and absorbable as the standard omega-3 supplements. But they're very specific for other reasons. So we're not going to get into that because that's going to be a different talk. But if you guys want to hear an episode on like omega-3s, I would totally love to do a discussion on that. Another version that you'll find is buffered creatine. It's sometimes called crealkaline. And what that is creatine with an alkaline powder to stabilize the pH. And it claims that it reduces breakdown into creatinine and it doesn't need a loading phase, but there's no consistent evidence that it's better than monohydrate still. And again, you don't have to load with monohydrate either. So, all right, so those are the top types that you'll typically see when it comes to creatine on the market. But like you might have gathered from all of that, creatine monohydrate is still the best version, the most affordable, and I do just recommend buying it from maybe a U.S. company where it's produced and created here, so there's a little bit less risk of maybe heavy metals or other things like that, because like all supplements, if you can buy it on Amazon, it can come from anywhere and be produced anywhere unless the company specifically says that it is produced in and manufactured in the U.S., and they do third-party testing or something like that, which I usually find for my supplements that is a non-negotiable. I usually like it to be a company that is local because a lot of production, when it comes from overseas, they do not have the same standards as us, and there is a higher chance of heavy metals that are incorporated or can be incorporated in even just the packing process. So I would definitely kind of think about that when you are choosing what companies to source from. That's just a good rule of thumb in general from a nutritionist to you. All right. So again, it is safe to use long term, and the timing of when you take it is not super critical. But a lot of people, especially some of the leaders in the strength community, say post-workout might be slightly more beneficial if you have strength goals. If you're somebody taking it for just the mental health benefits and all of that, in the morning with breakfast is totally fine as well. So I would definitely recommend that you follow some of those guidelines when you're looking into creatine for yourself. But I also want to say that I will link a couple of my top recommendations, ones that I've actually used or my clients use, that I will put those in the show notes for you guys so you have something to at least go off of when you're trying to narrow down the search, because it can definitely be overwhelming, and usually we'll probably end up picking the one that has the cutest packaging, but that doesn't always mean that it's the best quality version. So I will put those in the show notes for you guys, because I'm sure some of you are like, okay, Kales, which one do you actually recommend? And I've personally actually been taking these gummies because I have powdered creatine monohydrate. And I just don't mix it into stuff because I don't mix like a post-workout drink or anything like that. For a bit there, I was trying to just mix it in with my electrolytes that I would drink during my workout, but I just kept forgetting and kept forgetting. And then I discovered that, I mean, like almost all other vitamins and things, they make gummy versions of creatine. And so now that's like my favorite thing, because then I have my little four little mango gummies before I go to the gym, or before I walk my dog one of the days if I'm taking a rest day. And so I will also link those for anybody who thinks that they would prefer gummies over powder. And I actually think that gummies might be a little bit better than, I'm not a huge fan of gummies for vitamins and minerals and such, because I don't know the process of when they suspend it in the gelatin, like how hot the gelatin is and if it compromises the quality or the form of the vitamins and minerals that they're putting into the gummies. But when it comes to creatine monohydrate, it's a pretty stable ingredient and it's a very easy thing to mix into gelatin. In comparison. So, and it's, I haven't found it to be grainy or weird or anything like that. I feel like they have the gummy texture of those fruit gummies from Costco. If some of you know what I'm talking about, I can't think of the brand, but they're kind of like thicker gummies. They're not like gummy bears. They're more like substantial with a nice chew. But anyways, all right, guys. So who should consider creatine? So kind of like I had said, pretty much all females in a way, unless you have certain things with your kidneys and stuff. But honestly, if you're an active female, if you're a vegetarian or vegan, if you're somebody who has high stress or brain fog, you're a high performing person, you have a lot going on at work with your career, maybe you're perimenopausal or postmenopausal, and anyone that's looking to age stronger, maintain lean mass, or support their cognitive function long term, you're a good candidate. So it's always kind of funny because like that's pretty much everyone, right? I'm sure you landed in one of those buckets. But all right, guys, I'm going to wrap up this episode for you. I wanted to make it kind of short and sweet and to the point so that, you know, you got all the information that you wanted to hear without having to tune out and lose days off into the day and all that jazz. But if you have any experience with it, and you had maybe a negative experience or a good experience, I'd love to hear it. DM me on Instagram, you know, either of my pages at Kaylee Loren or at Rebel Wellness Podcast. And also, just remember that it's a simple, very well-studied tool. It's not a magical pill, but it's a very smart add-on. So if you're thinking of up-leveling your supplement routine day-to-day, something that's low maintenance, something that's going to have some good positive effects over time, I would definitely recommend you consider it. That's it for today's episode. Share this to anyone you think needs to learn more about creatine, or you know somebody who's been talking about using it and that this might help them better clarify their decision. As always, celebrate your strength and nourishment, walk with confidence, and I will catch you in 2 weeks on another episode of Rebel Wellness. What did you think about that episode? If you enjoyed it, I hope that you would come join my community on Instagram at Rebel Wellness Podcast or my coaching page at Kaylee Loren or both. I would love to see your name pop up on my new follows list. I might say hello if I catch you. And I would also like to invite you to come check out my website, coachkales.com, if you're interested in seeing any more of the educational learning resources I have created for you. I have a whole ton of amazing free downloads that you can like dip your toe in the water of what working with me looks like. And if you are really vibing with what I have to say and how I teach it, come explore my courses that are available for purchase. They are all do-it-yourself. In the near future, I plan to have some awesome group coaching that will be all live, so stay tuned for that. And the best way to know when I'm going to launch those is through my monthly wellness newsletter, which is my hand-curated, not AI-generated, monthly all things health and wellness newsletter that I created to be your new favorite resource for staying up to date with the latest in the health world, self-care resources that I've created, and a bunch of the clean beauty picks that I personally use myself, and a whole lot more, as well as early access and discounts to anything that I create in the future for specifically my newsletter sign up. So if you'd like to sign up, head to coachkales.com and add yourself to my mailing list. Last but not least, I would absolutely love it if you would help our podcast grow by simply sharing a rating or review wherever you stream and are listening to me right now, and share it on your social medias or text it to some friends or family members if this episode resonated and was something that you think could help somebody else, because I really would love to help anybody in your circle if I've been helping you. So I absolutely am so grateful that you're here. And if you listened all the way through, you are a real one. So all right, Rebel, until next episode.